Second down and six. Williams play fake. Now throws. Wide open. It's DJ Moore. The former Carolina Panther is in for a Bears touchdown. As Caleb Williams and the Bears defeat Andy Dalton. And the Panthers, Bears now 3-2.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
There you are, Score Evening Show with me, Rami Makhlouf, Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass and on the ones and the twos, and a jam-packed show for you between now and 9 o'clock. Jacob Infante of the Windy City Gridiron, he'll be here in just a bit, about 6:20, 6:25 to talk some Bears. Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show and also the Tailgate with Paul Pabst Saturday mornings here on The Score. He'll join me at 7 o'clock to talk some Bears and NFL and mix in some Bulls with Will Perdue, four-time NBA champ, part of Bulls coverage on CHGO. I don't need to tell you who Will Perdue is. That's stupid of me. You all know Will Perdue. I need not read his credits. He'll join me at 8:50 to talk some Bulls and some NBA. And the phone lines, text line open to you at 312-644-6767. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. Talk some Chicago sports, mostly Bears, with me tonight here on the Score Evening Show. And we're going to start with some Bears. And man, that was good. What I saw on Sunday. It's the first time I've gotten on the air since that game on Sunday. I know we turned the page on Wednesday, and I'll do plenty of that in just a few minutes. We can turn the page to what's going to go down this Sunday and beyond. But man, that was good. I was on the air Friday night in this very time slot with Hub Arkish, and I said I want an anxiety-free win. I want the type of win where I can take a little nappy nap in the second half. You know what I mean? And then go back and watch what I missed later. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And I did go back and watch the entire game, what I missed while I took a little nap. But man, oh, Robbie, you're a Lions fan. You might have had a couple of these in the last couple of years since your team turned good. I forgot what it was like. I forgot what your team is up by two or three scores in the second half nap is like. That one hits hard. It hits real hard.
The Sundays where you don't have to stress and you know it's like over, it's like, oh my God, I can actually enjoy the day of rest, what this was made for.
I'm not like on the edge of my seat or standing up like a weirdo. I don't know how many people out there do that like me when the game is really close and you're standing for some reason like you're going to do something on the play.
And also we're part of fan bases where like you have to watch until the very end because you don't know.
Because you never know.
But when there's a lead that great and you see Andy Dalton on the field and you see them wave the white flag by putting in their number one overall draft pick, that's when you're like, all right, life is good.
That was right around when the old eyelids started fluttering when they brought in Bryce Young. That was when I went into a complete state of rest. So it was great. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Sunday, and a lot of good things happened. A lot of good things are happening, man. This, and I don't need to tell you this either. Just like I didn't need to tell you who Will Perdue is. That this defense is real good, man. Like, legit good. I'm going to talk about the offense in a second. Saw some good things there. I don't know if I would say they're legit good yet. But, man, this defense now, fifth in scoring, seventh in yards, third in takeaways, first in fumbles, third in first downs allowed, sixth in passing defense. Like, just pick any category you want on defense. And this Bears defense is getting it done in a dominant fashion. They're not first in anything, but you'd be hard pressed to find any defense that's ranked in the top five of, like I said, just about any relevant defensive category right now, in as many categories as the Bears are. Couple deeper numbers about that defense: almost 17% of their series end in turnovers. That's crazy. That's almost one out of every five possessions that their opponents have ends in a turnover. Again, this is dominant. And now they've held opponents to 21 points or fewer in 11 games. They have at least one turnover in 11 of their last 12 games. The Bears have the longest home win streak in the NFL. This defense is legit. Like, that wasn't high on my list of questions coming into the season, but I mean, I couldn't bank on that necessarily based on one half of a season that we saw last year after Montez Sweat came over and Matt Eberflus took over play calling duties on that side of the ball. that defense, I'm pretty convinced now, and I'm pretty sure most people within the sound of my voice, you can tell me at 312-644-6767, that defense is for real. And I've been very hard on the offense. I've been very hard on Shane Waldron specifically and that offensive line. And I mentioned a second ago the defense not high on my list of questions. Those were pretty high on my list of questions. Not that I had doubts about Shane Waldron. I just didn't know. Like, I didn't know. I didn't watch enough Seattle football in his time as a play caller to know who he was and what he was going to bring to the table. And quite frankly, through not just three games, four games, I didn't really like what I saw. But we're seeing some progress on that side too. And specifically with Caleb Williams. And the numbers tell a lot of the story in terms of Caleb Williams. His first 10 quarters, 57% completion percentage. And a 0-3 touchdown interception ratio for a 57 passer rating. His last 10 quarters, 70% completion percentage. 5-1 touchdown ratio. No turnovers in his last two games for a 110 passer rating. That's real progress from your rookie quarterback right there. And one of the things that he was really struggling with early on in the season, and something that the Bears really tried to work with him on in the preseason by throwing a lot of blitzes at him in training camp and in practice, he was not figuring out NFL blitzes his first couple games, which you expect. Which you expect. I've been saying all season, I have patience for Caleb Williams all day and night. Not too many other people in the organization, but I got all the patience for Caleb Williams to figure things out and find his footing in the league. He's 17 of 19 with 200 passing yards and two touchdowns against the blitz in the last two games, according to Pro Football Focus. He's figuring out NFL defenses.
Fire, man!
That was a great moment right there. I heard that live, and I was like, did I just hear what I thought I heard? And then it went viral everywhere. But that's a moment. I just said, like, the numbers tell you some of the story when it comes to Caleb Williams. His command of the offense pre-snap specifically, of calling protections, calling different coverages, audibles at the line of scrimmage, stuff like that, like what we just heard. And DJ Moore, this was from earlier today in London after they landed and started the press tour across the pond. You'll get a lot of that tonight. This was DJ Moore earlier today talking about a change in Caleb Williams that happened leading up to that game on Sunday.
He's been bossy lately.
Been bossy lately. There's more to it than that. But I like a bossy Caleb Williams. I like a bossy QB. I like a punky QB too. But I like a bossy QB. That's a dude who knows what he wants from the guys playing around him. Here's the full clip.
He's been a leader. So what I mean by bossy is we don't hit something in practice. He's going to tell us how we need to run it, this, that, and we just look at him and be like, okay. And then when we get out there on the game, you just better make sure it works because he's going to have some words for you if you don't. So that's him being a leader. He's a little bossy. No, it's the little bro, so.
That's what you want. He's younger than I guess. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, you do want to see that. Like I said, he's like little bro, so you're like looking at him like, dude, don't be talking to me like that. But it's but I understand because we need to really connect on that. And that's what we did this past week. So I took his advice. I listened. You know what I'm saying? Older bro had to take a back seat for a second.
First of all, little brothers often have wise things to say and are often the smartest people in the room coming from a younger brother. But a bossy QB, there's no such thing as a franchise quarterback in this league who's not bossy. Find me one quarterback who won't go to his guys. Now, there are a lot of different ways of doing it. And a lot of the time when you see guys doing it in the sideline in an animated fashion, it gets a negative connotation or negative feedback. And I don't always think that's the case. Good quarterbacks know what they want and have a certain expectation of the guys around them in terms of their assignments, knowing their assignments, being dependable and being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, because that's how an offense has to run. It has to run like clockwork. And the quarterback is the guy in the middle of that who's going to get all the credit and who's going to get all the blame when it doesn't go right. And for a guy heading into his fifth game in the NFL to start being bossy already, to know his way around this offense enough and to be comfortable enough in a room full of veterans like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift, and even guys like Cole Kmet, who've been in this league for 3-4 years now. To be bossy and to start to really take lead and command of that offense at the line of scrimmage, in practice, and behind the scenes, man, that's a really positive sign and has me feeling really good about the progress of our quarterback. And he's gotten better just about every game. But I need more. I and not necessarily from Caleb Williams, but we saw a complete performance from that offense for the first time this season. A lot of people were impressed by what they saw against the Rams. I wasn't. That was two good drives against one of the worst defenses in this league. And they outgained you. Caleb Williams' numbers at the end of that game were sort of pedestrian, efficient, but pedestrian. This was the first game where they put together a complete performance. And this was, again, against a very bad defense. Dead last in the NFL in scoring. 28th in total defense. 29th against the run. They were 29th in getting pressure on quarterbacks. There was nothing Carolina did well on defense coming into that game. And they were also banged up and had an injury list a mile long. Now, I don't say that to take any credit away from the Bears. They did what you're supposed to do against bad teams. And that's a really good sign, because that wasn't something they could do recently. That's a good sign that they did what they're supposed to do against a bad team and a bad defense and put together a complete performance. But before I get anywhere close to feeling about the offense the way that I feel about the defense, I was talking about how dominant they were to start the show. Somebody from the 773 texted, "Would you say obnoxiously dominant?" Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious how dominant those guys are. For me to get anywhere close to that level of confidence, do this for 4 more games in a row. And I say that because the opportunity is there to do it for 4 more games in a row. Then I'll be like, oh, okay, all right. And I know this is the NFL, and putting together that kind of run is hard to do. But what they got the next 4 weeks, Jacksonville, 1-4. 30th in points per game, almost last in yards per game, dead last in passing yards per game. Washington, that's going to be a tough game, but you should be able to put up some points in that one as well. Arizona, they come in, they go into this week 2-3, 27th in points per game, 25th in yards per game. New England is 1-4. They're 24th in yards per game, 25th in passing yards per game. You got some teams that are very beatable here, and some defenses that give you the opportunity for your quarterback and this offense as a whole to take a big step forward and really, really answer some questions and put some worries and concerns of Bears fans to rest. I need more. That's one good game. I need more. I feel like there's a nerd reference for it. You know, have you ever seen The Last Jedi? Robbie, you a nerd at all?
This is actually going to shock a lot of people, but I've never seen any of the Star Wars.
What?
None of them.
What country did you grow up in?
I grew up in America, but
okay.
That's one thing that's like just
that's
been
wild
on my list, and that's something
that is wild. I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, no, that's one thing I like want to like take with me to the grave, but I just said it over a massive radio station. So
well, now this reference is going to go right over your head, and it's going to make me feel like it's going right over everybody's head.
No, I know I'm the anomaly. The listener will understand though.
In The Last Jedi, they're blasting Luke Skywalker with lasers, like lasers upon lasers upon lasers. What they think is Luke Skywalker. Turns out it's a hologram. Spoiler alert. But Kylo Ren.
Oh, come on. This is how it's going to get spoiled? Wow. It's not like I had time to watch.
It's been out like 7 years. And Kylo Ren is standing there just screaming, "More! More! I want more!" Like, I love the assault. I love the onslaught and the assault that we saw on Sunday. And especially, like, Caleb Williams to DJ Moore against the Panthers and all the implications of that trade, like coming to fruition on the field there. It was really good, man. I felt really good watching it. And like I said, that your team is up by 3 scores nap hits really hard. I haven't had one of those in a minute. And then I went back and watched the rest of the game, and it felt even better. It felt even better after I rested up a little bit. But I need more for this team to get where I think it can get. In these next 4 games, I need to see at least 3, if not 4, straight games like what we saw on Sunday. Complete performances. And not everyone has to be a 2 or 3 score win where I get to take a little nap in the second half. That doesn't have to happen every week. It'd be nice. That doesn't have to happen every week. But I need complete games, well-rounded, complete games from this offense in the next 4 weeks. Do against bad opponents what you're supposed to, like you did this last Sunday. And I'll start believing that this rebuild and this turnaround is really turning a corner. And it's something I really, really should believe in. Up until now, it's been something I should believe in on paper. Sunday was the first time it looked like something I can turn on my TV and see on a field, something to believe in. You need more? How good are you feeling after that performance on Sunday? 312-644-6767. Did you get my nerd reference? 312-644-6767. I know you didn't. I understand. You already told me that. You've never seen any Star Wars?
No, not a single one.
Have you seen Rocky?
I've seen Rocky.
Okay.
I'm not like a fantasy movie guy. Like, I like things with a little bit of reality. Star Wars, I don't know. It's not my alley for some reason.
Marvel Universe? Out of your ballpark?
Yeah, I've never seen any Avengers either. So
what?
That's an issue as well.
Okay. All right. I love you, Robbie, but I got to talk to somebody else now, and that'll be Jacob Infante of the Windy City Gridiron and the Bears Over Beers podcast. He'll join me next. It's Robbie Maclauf. It's the Score Evening Show. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and back right after this.
Second down and 8. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball. That was a beautiful design. This is Mike Jackson. Lined up one-on-one with no help on Moore. And look where Caleb puts the football. He puts it out and in front for DJ Moore to go and get it. Only DJ Moore can go and get it. That was good coverage by Mike Jackson. That was a better throw and catch by Caleb Williams and DJ Moore for another Bears touchdown.
We're back live with more Rami Maclauf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That highlight courtesy of Fox, 312-644-6767. I'll read some of your texts if you want to line up on the phones while I talk with Jacob Infante about those Chicago Bears. Feel free to do so, and I'll get right to you. But, you know, from the Windy City Gridiron and the Bears Over Beers podcast, pleasure to welcome in Jacob Infante. Jacob, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing great, Robbie. Thanks for having me on.
When he threw that touchdown that we just heard there, I don't even know. I think I laughed like the Joker when that happened, like, because I don't know how to react when my quarterback throws passes like that, Jacob.
It's nuts, and especially for a rookie to be making those kind of plays. I mean, that's something that, you know, as Bears fans, we personally haven't seen out of our team very often. So for someone to be doing that in their first year in the NFL, I mean, that's I don't blame you either. It was something special. It was almost like, is this real life? You know,
I know you break down the tape, and folks can follow you at Jacob Infante 24 on Twitter if they want to see that, and you have some breakdowns on your Patreon right now. Watching Caleb Williams, let's start there, because he's the centerpiece of this whole thing, and where Caleb goes, we go as the Chicago Bears. What's been the most impressive thing, breaking down the tape, about his development and his performance here weeks 1 through 5?
I think the big thing, and, you know, you touch on it with the development, has been huge. Even just in the last, you know, 5 weeks, the first 5 weeks of his NFL career, you're seeing he's a lot more decisive and a better decision maker at that. There were some instances, especially those first 2 games, where, you know, some people were, you know, ringing the bust alarm because there were a couple throws he made that were head scratchers. But you're really seeing here these last 3 games, these last 2 games especially, he's getting the ball out quickly. He's being able to make full field reads, even not just half field reads, but make full field reads, find the open man. He can hit the check down. He's shown improvement in his deep ball accuracy, which is very, you know, that's encouraging given the fact that he struggled a little bit with that earlier on in the season. And the poise and the calmness that he plays with is what really stands out to me. He doesn't look the part of a nervous rookie. You know, we've seen it in the NFL and on the Bears over the last, you know, how Lord knows how many years, where you have these rookie quarterbacks. They don't look like they're ready. They, you know, looks like they're seeing ghosts, you know, to quote Sam Darnold. But that's not the case with Caleb Williams. He looks confident and he looks sure of himself. He's making good decisions with the football. And yeah, sure, there are some rookie mistakes here and there that, you know, still take place. But for the most part, the growth has been really impressive, and he looks the part of a veteran. And again, not to say that he's been perfect, but he's certainly showing signs of quick development, which is really impressive, especially out of a rookie.
And it would be real easy for a rookie to start seeing ghosts, given how his offensive line blocked for him for the first 4 weeks. Not only did he not let that get to him, but it seems like he also figured out how to read the things going on behind that pass rush to get the ball out quicker. I read off this stat right before I brought you on, Jacob. It's from Pro Football Focus. 17 of 19 for 200 passing yards and two touchdowns against the blitz in the past two games. Is it more what he's doing pre-snap in recognizing these things and adjusting for him? Or is it just him reacting quicker to these blitzes and getting the ball out quicker? Or I guess the likely answer is a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, honestly, I'd say it's a little bit of both. I mean, you're able to see in there's some instances, and us not being in the huddle, you know, it's a little tougher to tell sometimes, but you can see that he's communicating pre-snap. He's picking up on, you know, certain movements, certain motions, depending on the formations that he's seeing on the defense. And then after the fact, he's shown that he can react to delayed blitzes pretty well. He can react to, you know, shifts in coverages. Maybe if there's an exotic coverage shells that you're facing, he's looked pretty good in that regard too. So I'd say it's a little bit of, you know, pre-snap and post-snap, and then just the ability to react to what the defense is giving him. And I know the big talking point is, you know, teams are using more two high shells, using cover two, cover four. You have two deep safeties, you know, it kind of limits the ability to hit the deep ball. And, you know, it's not the case on a consistent down by down basis, but comparatively speaking, it's more. And I think with that, a quarterback needs to be able to take what the defense can give you underneath. And especially these last two, three games, Caleb's looked really good at that.
And one of the things that'll really help with that, talking with Jacob Infante of Windy City Gridiron here on the Score Evening Show, is when your running game gets going. In the last two games, DeAndre Swift has looked like the guy they gave a big check to in the offseason, and that helps a lot. What have you seen in the difference in the way he's running and or the way that the Bears have been blocking for him these last 2 weeks that has sort of opened up that run game?
Yeah, so I'll start with Swift. I feel like his vision in between the tackles he's looked more decisive, and I think that part of it, maybe you can check up to the fact, you know, he's learning a new offense. It's a new offensive line. It's a totally new system, you know, which granted, you know, for a veteran, maybe you expect a little bit more right out of the gate, but he does look more comfortable. He looks more decisive, and, you know, he's always looked good as a ball carrier in space, making decisions and utilizing his quickness to extend the play and free himself open from would-be tacklers. But it's really been in between the tackles that he struggled those first couple weeks. He's gotten better at that as the season has gone on. And as far as the offensive linemen go, I feel like they start to really understand their identity. I feel like this is an offensive line that's, you know, pretty heavy in, and you're looking at some of these guys, pretty heavy in power, especially with Matt Pryor coming in at right guard. That's a 6'7", what, like 330-pound guy. That's not someone you consistently want as a pull blocker, someone you want as a wide zone type of guy moving around a lot. That's a massive dude who can win with size, who can win with strength. And it's not just Pryor, obviously. You know, it's the whole offensive line. Most of them, especially, you know, Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, power is their game. And I think that we've seen the Bears embrace that a little bit more. And And going back to, you know, Shane Waldron, there's a lot of panic as to, oh, he's looking terrible these first couple games. We're seeing some adaptability these last couple weeks, and there's still a lot of season left to play, but I think that's something where a lot of Bears play callers on offense have really struggled, is, you know, being fluid in your game plan and adjusting to, hey, what's working, what isn't. Getsy didn't really do that too well. Nagy didn't do that too well. So I think that's something we're seeing now. And, you know, if the trend continues, it'll be encouraging and it'll be honestly a nice turnaround for Waldron and the offense as a whole.
I did lose my mind a little bit on the first and goal from inside the five play call series against Indianapolis. So I don't know if I might have called for him to be fired, but it shouldn't have been taken seriously. It was a spur of the moment type of thing, but that and there were some other calls in the first. But yeah, I mean, in the first 3 weeks that infuriated me, but in the last 2 weeks, I got to give Shane Waldron a lot of credit, especially Sunday against Carolina. But let me ask you this. It was a bad and injured Carolina football team. I said before I brought you on, feel very good about what I saw Sunday, especially from the offense. But I need more to really be sold that they got something here as in terms of the totality of this offense. The play caller, the quarterback, the offensive line, the weapons, obviously. Lots of guys who've done plenty of things at the NFL level, but as a unit, I need to see more from that offense before I'm really sold that they got something cooking here.
I think that's definitely fair. I mean, honestly, you're looking at, especially from a Shane Waldron perspective, you're looking at what, three bad games, one pretty good game and one great game. So the bad, at least in that case, still outweighs the good. But I agree. I think if they can keep up this level of play against other teams, you know, they've got the Jaguars coming up in London. That's a game where, you know, Jacksonville's not off to a hot start. Arizona's been a little bit hot and cold. New England's not looking great right now, and they're probably going to have a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line. And, you know, that's what the Bears have right now, essentially, but the Patriots have an even worse offensive line. And at least going off college tape, Drake May is in the process, or Caleb is. So they've got an opportunity to really step up and string together some nice outings these next couple weeks before the divisional play keeps up. I'm not going to say, oh, Shane Waldron's all the way back. I'm not going to say Caleb Williams is an elite quarterback. I mean, it's, you know, really early. And part of it is, you know, you say the Panthers aren't a good football team. And that might be true. But I think what you have to face the teams that you're scheduled. And the Bears can't, you know, help the fact that the Panthers are on their schedule. They did what they had to do. Yep. They did what they were supposed to do. They defeated a team that they were on paper better than, and they did so in dominant fashion. Now, if this was, you know, if we were talking now today and it was like a 13-10 game, then that'd be an entirely different story. And we'd be, you know, I'm sure you and me would be, we'd be in panic mode. But it's a decisive, dominant victory. Both sides of the ball looked good. So that's something to be excited about. And then, yeah, these next couple weeks, it's going to be interesting to see if they can keep up that momentum.
Yeah, they did what good teams do against bad teams on Sunday, and they have a chance to do that in, you know, three of the next 4 weeks, it looks like, the way that the schedule is shaping up right now. How good is that defense that they got? Best in the league? Top five? Where would you put this Bears defense right now?
You know, it's interesting because I came into this year thinking, all right, the Bears have a top 10 defense. I wouldn't call it elite, but definitely above average. And where I was kind of struggling with was the defensive line, right? So, but looking at what Jervon Dexter's done, looking at what Andrew Billings has generated some pressure up the middle, Montez Sweat's looked, you know, he's had some better compliments off the edge. DeMarcus Walker's made plays. Darrell Taylor's made some plays. So with the defensive line stepping up, that being the real big question mark with this team, I don't think it's out of the question to say it's a top five unit. Now, is it the best in the league? I don't know if I'd go to that extent quite yet, but it's certainly looking really strong. And I think that's, if you're Matt Eberflus, that's your calling card right now, is to say, hey, this defense, which I'm coming in here as a defensive specialist, this defense is looking like one of the best in the league. So that's something you can hang your hat on. You know, we'll see what happens down the stretch, but you're definitely right. These next few weeks, it's an opportunity to solidify yourself and to stack up some wins and say if you can come out of that stretch like 6-3, then you have all the divisional games. You have Seattle, who's started off hot, but they're slumping. San Francisco, who hasn't necessarily gotten off to the start many people expected. So if you can win three of those games,
yep.
So what is that? Like six divisional games and then two out of the division games. If you can go 3-5 in that time, that's 9-8. There's a solid chance you're making the wild card with that. So these games are, I don't want to say gimmies because anything can happen in the NFL, but this is a real opportunity to stack up some victories and really position yourself down the stretch.
Jacob, we got about a minute left. I know because I follow you on Twitter at JacobInfanti24. You're a guy who likes to get a little nerdy and dive into the numbers a little bit. Has there been anybody just sheerly statistically and off the page the way that Torrey Taylor has been as a punter for this football team?
I'm loving the Torrey Taylor love, honestly. I mean, going back, watching him as a part of my draft analysis, actually going back and feeling excited to watch a punter's tape, that takes a special talent to do. And you're seeing just, he's got an incredible leg. And especially that game 2 weeks ago, you're seeing some of the downfield touch that he has. It's no wonder. I mean, he's taken the city by storm, and I feel like it's very Chicago, for all of us to fall in love with the punter, but he's that good. He's just a big legged guy, and they haven't necessarily had a true field flipper since Brad Maynard in the mid 2000s. I mean, it's been a while since they've had like a true impact player at that position, and it's still very early, but so far, Torrey Taylor's looking like he could be one of those guys for, Lord knows how many times, because those punters, they go into their 40s, so
yeah.
If all goes well, you're looking at a, fit 13, 14, 15-year guy. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I mean, the early returns are very encouraging.
That's Jacob Infante from the Windy City Gridiron, the Bears Over Beers podcast. Follow him on Twitter at JacobInfante24. And my guest for the last few minutes here on the Score Evening Show. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Jake. Have a great night.
Thanks, you too. Thanks for having me.
And he joins me on the Circa Sports Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, you got thoughts on the Bears? I got time to take them. 312-644-6767. Really liked what I saw on Sunday. I don't want to come off as a Debbie Downer or a Negative Nancy or any of the other labels that you might throw on me. I just need more. I need more to really be sold on what they got cooking on offense. How about you? 312-644-6767. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show, and I'm back right after this.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you until 9 o'clock. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show and the Tailgate with Paul Pabst. Saturday mornings right here on The Score will join me at the top of the hour. Got time for your calls right now to talk some Bears at 312-644-6767. Speaking of the Bears, before they take on Jacksonville and London, tune in Saturday morning from 9 to 11, a special day and time for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Mully, easy for me to say, Olin Kurtz and Patrick Manley as they get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game on Sunday, Mully, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of that can be heard on The Score and over there on the Odyssey app, which is totally free. By the way, got a text here from the 414. Get to the point where we expect that type of offense every week and we're not just pleasantly surprised to see it. Yeah, I don't know if I expect to see, over 400 total yards and 36 points every week. There will be tougher opponents, but yeah, a certain level of performance that we could expect week in and week out. And I don't let out giddy Joker laughs because my quarterback made a crazy pass to the back of the end zone and I just haven't seen that before. Like, just, I shouldn't be that surprised by it. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Forest Park. And Fred, he wants to talk about Caleb Williams and the Bears. What you got, Fred?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Sure. Thank you.
I just wanted to say I've really enjoyed Caleb's willingness to step up in the pocket. It seemed like the first couple games he was skittish looked like he was breaking out, rolling out when he didn't need to. I think he learned that, you know, regardless if he's going to have time or not, he's still got to be willing to hang in there and deliver a pass. My only concern is, you know, exactly what you guys were touching on. You're beating teams that you're supposed to beat on paper. Is that going to be able to hold up against teams like, you know, Minnesota, even Green Bay, some of the tougher teams in our division that are coming up? You know, I don't expect them to do what they did to the Panthers going forward. I don't even think we'll see another game like that again this season. But it was nice. It was refreshing. You should have did that against the Colts. That's the only thing. That's the only other end of that. So,
Fred, you're 100% right about that, about the Colts game. And that game still sticks with me a little bit. Appreciate the call, Fred. But going back to what Jacob Infante said when you were talking about him being willing in these last few games to stick in the pocket, where maybe he got happy feet and tried to get out of the pocket in the first few games, that's a rookie. And they're going to do that until they figure things out in this league and how fast the game moves. And you can't always do the things you did when you were at USC and you were playing competition that you were, you know, a level above. But the other thing is the seeing ghosts that Jacob referred to. There probably was a little bit of that in his first two or three games, where you're getting rushed from every side. The Bears offensive line were doing him no favors. Shane Waldron was doing him no favors with some of the play calls that he was making. And he got happy feet. And that not only is going to throw off the rhythm of the offense, and like I said, he's going to find out he can't do a lot of the things at this level that he did at the college level, but also there were some accuracy issues in the first 3-4 weeks, and those, the happy feet and moving around and not trusting your pocket and that you can set your feet down there and make a solid throw, that will lead to those accuracy issues. So I think all of it kind of goes hand in hand. It's all cause and effect, and the better that offensive line is, the more the game slows down for Caleb Williams. I think you'll see him take more and more command of that pocket and get more and more comfortable in there. He's made some throws from some really tight pockets, man. The touchdown pass to DJ Moore against the Rams a couple weeks ago, he was in a closet. He had a guy on his left who was getting pushed into his face and a guy on his right who was getting pushed into his face, and he squeezed it into a tiny window for DJ Moore in the back of the end zone. Things have really been clicking for him in these last couple of games. Let's go to Orland Park. Ray, you're on the score. What's up, Ray?
Hey, good to talk to you tonight. So I think it's safe to say that last year the Bears were a bad team. They may have been better at the year's end, but it still was a bad football team. And in the NFL nowadays, with parity and the salary cap, you only really have good, competitive, and bad teams. You might have great players on a good team to make the team great, but really it's good, competitive, and bad. So right now the Bears have shown us they can beat bad teams well. Even though the Tennessee game didn't go up for the offense, the defense stepped up and they beat a bad team. They've lost to some competitive teams, the Colts being one of them. They're competitive. They're not necessarily bad. They have Jonathan Taylor. He's an all-pro caliber back. Anthony Richardson can throw. So I would classify them as competitive. But now you face the Panthers, which is the bottom rung of the bad teams, and you dominate them. So now it's time to step up and not be a bad team, but be a competitive team. Let's beat some other competitive teams like Jacksonville, and we got to beat our division. I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like Lovey, but until this team beats the Packers, I'm not convinced that things have righted the ship yet. Thanks for taking my call.
Ray, that's a great call. And they have moved out of the tier of bad. And that's a step, man. That's you had to get out of that tier to eventually get where we all want the Bears to go. And I think Ray hit the nail on that. They have moved up a tier out of that tier of bad football teams. And they'll see a football team that's down there in that tier this Sunday in the Jaguars. So they should be able to do something like what we saw Sunday against Carolina, this Sunday against the Jaguars in London. But can I share a dark thought with you here for just a second? A thought that ran through my head before that game against Carolina on Sunday, even after the performance against the Rams, because again, that didn't really impress me. Your quarterback had less than 200 yards passing. They got the run game going, but it was two good drives, and then they scored a third touchdown on a short field, and they almost screwed up that drive, and it got saved by a pass interference call. Through four games, I was sitting there, and no, I'm not relitigating Caleb versus Justin Fields. I refuse to do that. The Bears made a choice, and I'm here for it, and I'm riding that train. But through four games, I looked at this offense, and a quarterback that had put up over 200 yards once in a loss, where he was heaving the ball desperately at, what did he have, 52, 54 dropbacks in the game against against Houston? I was looking at the offense and going, is this better? Now, Sunday looked better than anything that we saw under the Getsy Fields regime in that era. But through four games, I was going, is this better than what we saw a year ago? Because it didn't look like it. It really didn't. But Ray hit the nail on the head. They have moved up a tier, including that offense. One more call before the break. We go from Ray to Reggie Ray in Chicago. What you got, Reg?
Hey, how are you doing? We got a great quarterback. I think we got great pieces. And first of all, thank you so much for taking my call. Great
Appreciate
show.
It.
I listen to you guys all the time. But I just wonder, does our head coach and offensive coordinator, do they come equipped to handle this caliber of quarterback? I think this quarterback we have can be that quarterback. But if you look at, and history shows you, the coach, the head coach and the quarterback is very important. And I just wonder if this coach has the experience to cultivate this quarterback in the proper way. Just looking at some of the offensive calls they call, it's just sometimes I wonder.
No, and Reggie, I hear you, man. I got to get to the break, but I do appreciate the call and thank you for listening. And I hear you. And those were the two top questions on my list about this Bears team and about Ryan Poles' grand scheme coming into this year. Again, I didn't know Luke Getsy. I didn't have doubts about him. I just didn't know. He came in as a complete question mark to me as far as what kind of offensive coordinator and play caller he would be. And what I saw in the first 2 years of Matt Eberflus as a head coach, and honestly through 2 years and 4 weeks up until last week, I didn't love a lot of it. And I did wonder if they were indeed handing over the number one pick in the draft and the guy who was supposed to be the savior of this organization and the first great quarterback in a Bears uniform of my lifetime, maybe ever. If you were handing him over to guys who were equipped to develop him and put him in the best position to succeed in Eberflus and Getsy. And that question hasn't been answered for me yet. Sunday was a step in the right direction. But we'll see. And if not, we got problems. We'll talk with Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, also host of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst, Saturday mornings here on The Score. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next, right here on The Score Evening Show.